Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. We've got our message entitled, Make It Personal. Make It Personal. So many times in our life, when somebody says something, we take it personal, you know, and they'll say, oh, this is, has nothing to do with, but don't take it personal. And so usually that's a cue for us to take it personal. So I want to tell you this morning, if you're going to, let's make it personal. And I think you'll see what we're talking about as we go on with the message this morning. In the, ever since creation, God had spoke to man, spoke to Adam, up through the giving of the law, we see that God spoke to the fathers. This is known as the patriarchal period or dispensation of the Bible. But then when they're getting ready to leave Egypt and God is getting ready to set up a covenant with them, one that was be known as the Mosaic Law, the Mosaic dispensation, God starts to prep his people for what he's going to want in the future. So what we're saying is, in the patriarchal time when he spoke to the fathers, it was the father's responsibility to share that message and make sure that the rest of that family heard that. As you could tell and know in studying out on our Wednesday night Bible studies that we've had, some of those families could be quite large. And it would be easy for someone to just go with the flow. And I pray here this morning that as we are here, we're not here because, well, we know it makes mom and dad happy, or I need to make the wife or the husband happy, or, you know, grandpa or grandma and make them happy. It's not about our service to someone else. It's about our service to the Lord. And this isn't the total completion of that transformation from the patriarchal period to the Mosaic Law to Christian age. But it's given us that indication that things are changing. And no longer is it just the father that is then responsible for this. Although this is how it starts off. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. This is one of those chapters that really starts to shape and to mold the Israelite nation as they are coming out of bondage. This is where we read in Exodus chapter 12 of the Lord. I know many times we say the death angel. It doesn't say the death angel. It says the Lord is going to come through the area there. And if the blood is not applied to those doorposts and to those lintels, that the life will be required. And as I've shared from that before, so as a dad, right, I would say, oh, you know, the head of my family, my sons would hear, we need to get that blood on the doorposts. Don't worry about it. God doesn't really mean what he says. They're going to be like, yeah, this is if they were still living at home under my roof. Don't you think we should just do what God says? Oh, no. He's just talking. But that's the way so many people play with their Christianity. In Christianity, there are numerous things that I can say from all the way over here, from Logan all the way to the right, all the way to Matt Johnson over here on the left. all of us in here, there are things, whether we like to admit it or not, that we look at in Scripture that we are told not to do or that we are told to do, and we just outright don't do it or we do it. You know why that is? Because we're living for self. We're living for what we want. And people want to, we want to think that we are good and that we are godly and that we've got it going on and I'm a great Christian. Oh, maybe I'm not a great Christian. Maybe I'm just a good Christian. Well, Scripture says, who is righteous? No, not one. Oh, well then that means there must be two. Right? Not just one, two. No. What he's saying is not any of us. And so as we see this, it boils down to, okay, that blood needs to be applied to the doorpost, to the lintels. And if not, the Lord will strike them down. Now, if you don't, as we said, the Lord will strike you down. Pharaoh didn't do that. And guess what happened? His firstborn died. That's when he finally screamed, just get out of here! Right? Until he changed his mind and hardened his heart then even more. So, just to give you a little background on this. Here's what's leading up to that night. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. In other words, this is their January 1st, right? Speak to all the congregation of Israel. Notice it's to everybody, saying on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's households. Notice the fathers are still the ones that are the mediators here. A lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old, that you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now, so as we look at this, I don't know that you can really see it clear on there. I was hoping it'd be a little bit better. But there's the words of the lamb in there that you'll see are underlined. I've underlined them. If not in your text, it'd be good in those five verses to anywhere you see lamb and then the word that's in front of it. Because the first three times we see the word lamb, the word a lamb, right? Because if I say, hey, let's go to eat at a McDonald's. I don't know why I'd necessarily say that. But let's go eat at a McDonald's. Then your question's going to be, which one? Right? We're going to go all the way to the great metropolis of Woodburn. Right? And while we're over there, we can go visit John and Mary Beth. Right? And so we're there, or you will be like, the one that's been around as long as I can remember is the one on Stellhorn Road, up there. So we'd have to ask. So there's a difference between A, and then the fourth time we see it in the text, it says the. So if we've been currently eating at a McDonald's, and so now we've referred to it as, hey, let's meet at the McDonald's. We're going to know which one we're talking about. But then, this is the one that we go to all the time. This is the one that we inhabit. This is the one that if you pull in there, you see the same elderly gentleman sitting there drinking their coffee every morning, right? Then it's now known as your McDonald's. And that's what's happening here as they go through this verse. It's a lamb, a lamb, a lamb, the lamb, and then your lamb. What the Lord is wanting the people to do is to make this personal. You know, and Gary in his class of Leviticus did a great job of showing that sometimes there was a disconnect. But there were things that the Lord had them do to bring them in to that being involved with the laying on of the hand, with the prayer, with different things that would take place. Because it wasn't just about taking the dove or the pigeon or the lamb or the goat or the bull and having somebody else do your dirty work. It was about making it personal. And that's what the Mosaic Law was leading us to, that there was an individual responsibility, not just where the fathers took care of business, but now it's starting to dwindle down. And as we get to the end of this lesson, we'll see in the New Testament how personal our relationship needs to be with Jesus Christ. So it's about a lamb. It's about a lamb. Just a single one that's being nothing specific. And it says, Exodus 12:47 says, all the congregation of Israel are to celebrate this. So who's supposed to do this? All of Israel. All of Israel. The lamb was to be unblemished, meeting no imperfections whatsoever. To confirm the lamb's flawlessness, the fathers, the heads of those little communities, had to diligently care for them. This meant a very deliberate examination. There is no time to take lightly the responsibility of being sure that the sacrifice was sufficient. Exodus 12:3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel. We'd read this already, but let's look at it again. Saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. They had to be sure the lamb was the perfect sacrifice to save them from death. Because the families were at that time relying on the fathers to do the right thing for the head of those households. They had to make sure that this was the perfect sacrifice to save them from death, which was that last plague. If it did not meet the standards of the Lord, it was to be discarded. Now, I know that's not a biblical phrase, but I can go in and show you biblically where it needs to be, but I use that if it didn't meet the Lord's standards. So do we base what happens today in our worship time here, in our coming together as the corporate church, do we base on our standards whether it's a good day or not? Do we walk out of here and say, well, that was a good service? Why? It needs to be, is it according to the Lord's standards? Not to what I think, not to what I care for or dislike. I like it when they have three singers on the stage instead of just two. And so what you're going to say is that affected your whole service? Your whole time of being together this morning? I mean, you weren't able to concentrate during the Lord's Supper because we only had two singers instead of three? And that's what happens many times. We become distracted. And the Lord wants for us to make it very personal and for us to be involved in that. Exodus 12:21-24. Then Moses called for all the elders of the Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and to the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. The Lord will passed through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. Now, we're followers of the Bible, right? Josh Burton, so have you recently or at any time put blood on the doorpost or the lintels of you? He's not following the Bible. Huh? Right? For shame, for shame, for shame. Right, Stephen? At any time, have you ever put blood on the doorpost? I mean, something besides deer blood. Right? No. Steve might have done that. I don't know. But anyway, blood on the doorpost? No. Why is that? Because it's not talking to us. And this is where so many times many people, even Christians, and those definitely in the religious world, see phrases like this and say it shall be a commandment forever, and they get confused on what we should do. Because, see, this is speaking to the nation of Israel and to them forever. But when that has been completed, it's no longer a requirement. Just as when we said that Coop shared Leviticus, are we not grateful that Jesus Christ is our Lamb instead of all that they had to go through? Number two, it's about the Lamb. It's about the Lamb. It's about the Lamb that you have selected. Something that meets up to God's standard. It's about your individual opportunity that you have. And this tells a lot about people. Well, you know, I know this one here, when it was younger, it did have a broken leg, but I set it and I fixed it. And you know what? It's going to be good enough for God. Right? And we just shake our head and we say, how could that be? How could they know? They could do things. But we today are no different. Maybe it's not fully engaged in Sunday school. Maybe it's not totally focused on the Lord's Supper. Maybe it's not being fully involved in our singing time. You know, I just didn't feel like it today. Well, aren't we thankful that Christ felt like going to the cross? Or did he not? He didn't feel like going to the cross. He said, let this pass from me, if at all possible. I do not want to do this. But what did he do? Not what he wanted, but what the Father wanted. And so imagine trying to get away with this. But yet, we do the same thing. As we've shared before, there are those that are already intending on not being here this evening or Wednesday, or not even opening your Bible until next week again. And we predetermine in our mind, and we expect that God will be happy with it, when we are definitely and absolutely giving less than what's required. Forget our best, but less of what is required. Tradition specifies 10 as the least number, as it talks about these individual households. But the matter was probably left to altogether the discretion of the heads of the family, because it did say, notice, that you would take as much as each one would eat. I'm just saying, growing up, we probably put a little more food on the table with our three boys at home than, let's say, you know, Matt and Lindsay with the two girls at home. I know Gabby's a big eater, but, you know, compared to three boys, you see what I'm saying? So each one had to be based on their house and how that would work, but enough for each to eat. Exodus 12:4, which we had already read the second half of that verse. According to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. The lamb that you have selected. So now here's kind of one of those things again. What do you want to eat? Right? Hey, I know I got this sheep out there that's, I know it's got worms. Right? And like I said, its leg had been broken. It might even be a little gangrenous. Right? And so, you know what? I think I'm going to give that to God. And then, so God does like a 180 on him and says, all right, this is what you're going to eat. So now all of a sudden it's not just serving God, but serving self. Because do I want something that's rotten, that's no good? I was going to offer it to God, but now this is something for me too. So maybe I do want something nice. So we don't want that broken leg, gangrenous, rotten, bug-infested sheep. Let's do something nice, right? Let's have a good one. And that's what the Lord is trying to get us to understand in our thinking, is that when we give to Him, it actually affects our own well-being. Because as Josh shared at our communion time this morning, that really out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the mouth acts, the human, the body acts, that we carry out those things that we are thinking on the inside. Oh, I would never do it. I may think it, but I'd never do it. Right? Hey, you start thinking it enough, eventually the time might roll around that you will do it. And so we've got to really be careful of that. The lamb that you have selected. In other words, no one forced you. No one coerced you. No one threatened you. But you made a choice on which lamb you would prepare. Exodus 12:16, much later part of that verse, accept what must be eaten by every person, that alone may be prepared for you. The taking in of his neighbors may respect the call that we're going to see later on in Christianity to the invitation given to the Gentiles. Weren't the Gentiles the neighbors of the Jews? And you were to prepare enough for them. Church, it's not for us to call up when we are going to have the party and say, oh, well, these are my best friends from church. What the Lord is saying is reach out to those that are unchurched, those that are not Christians. Reach out to those neighbors, I believe is what the further indication of that is about. Obviously, here at this time, it is their spiritual and physical neighbors of Jews there in Egypt. But even from that, what do you think would happen if an Egyptian family was like, you know what, I've been seeing the things that are going on, and I want to put blood on our doorpost. I want to make sure that my family doesn't die. I want to make sure that my family doesn't perish. I want to make sure that my family lives. Would the Lord reject that? The Jews might have. The Israelites there might have. But then again, it's not for us to judge. Ephesians 3:5 says, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. There was a time, some 2,000 years ago, that we all that are sitting in here today would not have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Because how many times do we see that even when people would approach Jesus, Jesus would say, I didn't come, but only to the nation of Israel. But did he reject them? I was reading recently in the Syrophoenician woman who had the demon-possessed daughter. He said, basically, get away from me. I'm here for Israel. This is what Jesus said. But she was persistent. She kept saying, then not for me, but for my daughter. And she then even referred to herself as a dog. And you know what? Jesus didn't correct her. Because that's what the Jews thought of. Canaanites, Samaritans, and all the such. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus was putting down this woman. But she knew what everybody thought of her. She said, remember, even the dogs get to eat the scraps from the table of the children. And then that's when he says, your faith has made your daughter well. It's about taking a lamb. It's about the lamb. And now we see it's about your lamb. The choice of the lamb that you selected, it was all yours. As long as he met the criteria for the Lord, from the Lord. The lamb was special in that he would provide what we could not. So what's special about the lamb? Its blood, its life blood, was put on those doorposts. Exodus 12, 26 through 27. And when your children say to you, what does this rite mean to you? You shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who has passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes. And the people bowed low and worshipped. So what do you think that means? Well, they went into the closet and got out their timbrels and their tambourines and their, right? Because that's what worship is. If you want a really good lesson on what is worship, theology nerds podcast episode, season 2, episode 15, they talk about what is worship. And it really, I mean, I agreed with everything that they said because it came from the Bible. But we get all this, we get mixed up what worship is. We think that worship, I don't know how many times I've heard it, where people, I'm at camps or rallies or different places, and we get done singing, and the guy that's leading the songs sits down and says, all right, now that worship is over, we're going to have a message. According to Jesus, our worship isn't about whether it's in this mountain or in this mountain. It's about right here. And it's 24/7 that it needs to happen and to take place. Where's your lamb? Do you leave your lamb at the door when you walk out from here on Sunday morning and hope that it's there next Sunday morning? The choice is yours. That lamb could do what they could not. Jesus Christ, our Lamb, and that's why the song that we sang for communion was so great with this thought, and Josh picked that song out, but that it goes as a reminder to us that Jesus Christ is our Lamb. did what they could not do, and Jesus Christ has done what we could not do. Exodus 12, 26, as we talked about that with the worship, as we remember our Passover lamb, let us bow low in worship. Jesus Christ is our lamb. Jesus Christ is our Passover. Just as the Passover lamb was selected, inspected, and either accepted or rejected, so we are to do as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Are the acts in which we do, are they acceptable to the Lord? Or are there things in our life that as was shared this morning, for us to examine ourselves, that there are things in our life that we need to reject? Not everything that we do is good with God, as we had talked about earlier. Just because we accept it, because we get used to it, because we get comfortably numb to it, does not mean that the Lord does. As we consider the Gospel of John, be not confused, this is not the institution of the Lord's Supper, but it is relating to what would become the Christian's Passover meal. John 6, 53 through 55. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." As I said, that's not an indication of what Christianity needs to think of and focus on, but it is not him instituting the Lord's Supper there. God promised to make them a people and to give them a land. Josh talked about that this morning in the communion meditation. Of if you do this, you'll get this. You'll be rewarded with this. And they said, yes, we will. How many times in Scripture do we see that? Of them saying, yes, we will. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. And it seems like you don't even have to turn the page. And then they've done their own thing. But you know, the good thing that happens is that even when we fail, the lamb still does its job. God used the blood of the Passover lamb to deliver his people from bondage in Egypt, pointing ahead to another Passover lamb that would deliver the people, not from physical slavery, but from the spiritual slavery of sin, all to the glory of his grace. Can you almost stop and imagine it now? As John is off in the Jordan River and near Anon, and scribes and Pharisees are coming out to them and wanting to be baptized. But then here comes Jesus walking down the edge of the river. And John stops what he's doing and looks and says, "Behold! The Lamb of God." And let's make it personal today. That takes away your sin. That's the wonderful thing about the sacrifice of Jesus, is that his one sacrifice was good for all. But even if it was just me, can we all say that this morning? Even if it was just me, he still would have went to Calvary. He still would have died. Even if it was just me. Talk about making it personal. Jesus made it personal. He wants for us to do the same. The selection, the obedience, the faithfulness to the Lamb, it's your personal responsibility. right? We got a lot of ones that are in their late teens, early 20s, and some are in the workforce, and some going to college. And you know, Jocelyn goes this weekend to school. And the decisions that you make, good or bad, you can't blame on mom and dad. You've got to make it personal. Right? Colton? How you act at work? Right? And I know your boss is here. But how you act at work, right? It's not up to mom and dad. It's up to you. But you know, it's not just the younger ones. George, how you conduct yourself in the garage? Gary, as you're at work getting out orders and doing things? Mike? Right? And don't think the ladies are exempt from any of this. But you have to make it personal. Your selection, your obedience, your faithfulness is your personal responsibility. My encouragement as they come and get ready to lead us in our closing song here this morning is, let's make it personal. The Lord has made it personal for us. Let us do the same. It begins by our belief in Jesus and who He is. To repent of our sin. To confess Jesus Christ as Lord. To be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh man, I was really hoping there'd be three singers that would come up. Nobody pays attention. Right? No. But to be immersed into Jesus Christ. Right? No, Rick, stay down. Stay down. There's some that, you know, there's a reason I didn't jump up there. Like George has said before, there's a reason why he's only ever been asked to lead songs once. But anyway, you have to make a personal choice. And you know what? It's up to you to live faithfully. But here's the great thing about that faithfully, it falls upon us individually, but it also, the way the Lord has set up the church, it depends on us collectively. Now, I'm not saying however John acts or how Brandon acts affects whether I get to heaven or not, but how they act could certainly help me get to heaven, or it could harm me. Make it personal, each one of us. Live for Jesus, your Lamb, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Will you stand as they lead us?
There you are.